Amen. And so I don't know if y'all, Miss Vicki, if you can maybe touch base with that girl, Tim. In the middle of the week like this, encourage her. Long time? Huh? Amen. From Sunday to Sunday, a long time when you first get saved. So what? Sunday night. Amen. Boy, that boy was tore up. When he walked out of here, he was tore up. And it got good in here Sunday night. We had about a 20-minute invitation before preaching. And everybody was saying, man, I'll shout if you won't preach. But I fooled you. I went ahead and preached anyway. But it was good. I had a good time. All right. The old preachers used to say, preach, I don't care how long they shout, preach. And that's my philosophy most of the time. Not always, but most of the time. Now, I want to show you something here in Hebrews chapter 3 tonight. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 3. And this is not a usual Wednesday night Bible study. I do want you to help me and I want you to listen. But it's not a normal Wednesday night Bible study. This would be more like a tonight, almost like a revival message or something. But I'm going to talk about hardening your heart tonight. Hardening your heart. Normally, when you think about hardening your heart, we think about sinners. But I'm going to tell you something, people. Christians harden their heart. Christians harden their heart. And you are in danger, and I am in danger, of getting a hard heart. And you don't want to do that. You want to keep your heart soft. I have people tell me all the time, they say, Brother Danny, I can't even cry. I can't cry. When I first started going to church, I cried. Somebody gets saved, I cried. But now I'm just stone, cold face. Nothing moves me. Nothing. You know why? Because you've been through so much and had so many problems and so much junk happen and you've seen so many hypocrites. And you've seen so many people supposedly get saved that didn't pan out. That you just about become a Christian atheist. And so let's talk about hardening your heart tonight. Harden your heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Look at verse 7. Hebrews 3:7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. I guess that's something you choose not to do. You say, well, preacher, I got a hard heart and I can't help it. Well, why do you tell them people not to do it then? If you can help it. That means me and you can do something to keep our hearts soft. And we ought to. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. That's not the Old Testament Jews were in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now, that rest in the Old Testament was the promised land. That rest in the future is the millennium. That's why Hebrews is not like Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. All those books were written to the church. Hebrews was written to Hebrews. And doctrinally, I said, refers to Jews in the tribulation. And you hold on steadfast to the end and enter into God's rest, the millennium. Now, look here what he said. Look here what he said. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God during the tribulation. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened. How? Through the deceitfulness of sin. I'm going to talk about getting your heart hard. Hardening your heart through the deceitfulness of sin. And I'm talking to the best Christians in here. And I'm talking to you that's been in church longer than everybody else. And I'm talking to you that served God about all your life. And I'm talking to you that has never sinned in your eyes. And I'm talking about you that never do nothing wrong in your eyes. You have a big danger of hardening your heart. And you know what you do when you harden your heart? You go through the motions. You know when to raise your hand. You know when to say amen. You still act like everything's all right. Man, your heart. I said one time, this really happened. I think it was J. Frank Norris, one of them guys, preacher. He's a great, big, gigantic old Southern Baptist church. And
preacher got up and said, "Now, Deacon so-and-so, you lead us in prayer before the preacher comes." No, Deacon stood up over here and he said, "Lord, we thank Thee for this another Sabbath day." And you know, he went through all that stuff and he prayed for, you know how they did. And he said, "Oh, Norris got in the pulpit." And he looked right down at that fellow and he said, "Your heart's cold as a block of ice." When he started preaching. You talk about throwing a damper on the stuff. I mean, that killed it better than 4 o'clock. But he is telling the truth. We go through, you better what? You listen to me. You better be careful of just going through the motions. I go to a lot of churches where I know people that just, "Yeah, praise the Lord." And they just do it out of habit. And it's not deep. It's not coming from inside. And one way you know is there's never any tears. Never any tears. You know, when I go for a pretty long time without crying, I know I'm backslid. I know I am. And you know, the only thing that helps me is if I pray and I fast and I pray and I torture myself for a while and get my heart right, and then it gets soft, and then I can shed some tears again. Not fake tears. You ever seen a preacher shed them fake tears? I tell you what, and you know he's faking and he's trying to get you to think he's crying. Isn't that sickening? I do it all the time. Honestly, they want you to think they're crying. And I just felt such a burden for him. I don't know what to do. And it's fake. And you can tell it's fake. Can't you tell a fake cry? Your kids do. I've seen them little babies know how to fake cry. I said, "Shut up, I'll really give you something to cry about." You know, shut up, you'll shed some real tears here in a minute, you little brat. But those kids, I've told Mama, I said, "He ain't crying." "Yes, he ain't crying. That's faith." And Christians do the same thing. "Oh, the Lord's been just so good to me." Oh, can't you tell that's fake? And I'm pretty good at it. That's fake. Amen. That's fake. Amen. Well, you know, there's a danger in hardening your heart. I mean, I'm all for praising God, brother, but it ought to be real. It ought to be real. Amen. Amen. Now, you know what hardens your heart? Here's what it said. Provocation. That means provoke. They provoked the Lord. They resented the office of the high priest. They resented his position. They resented his power. You know what they said? "Moses, we ain't following you. We're going to do what we wanted to do." That's one way that you get your heart hard. Or say, "I don't care what you say. I don't care what God says. We ain't listening to you." When a person is not willing to follow their spiritual leader, they'll get their heart hard just like that. I'm not saying that because I'm the pastor. It scares me to think about y'all following me because I know I'm going to give an account. So I'm not saying that because I want to be some big leader or something. But you, everybody needs a spiritual leader or pastor to follow. I need a pastor. My pastor's down in South Carolina tonight. He's 90 years old. And I thought about him today. I thought, man, I need to call him and check on him. I want to know how my pastor's doing. And before I started this church, I called my pastor and I said, "What do you think about it? If I make a big decision, I call him and I say, what do you think? I want to know." There's no way that I'd change jobs and move my family without talking to my pastor. There's no way that I would move off to Ohio or somewhere without asking my pastor what to pray about, how he felt. There's no way I'd get married without asking my pastor. People just up and get married. They just up and move. They just up on a whim. And you know what happened to these people? They didn't want to listen to their spiritual leader. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something tonight. And I'm not saying this because I'm a preacher. That God's way of doing things is He gives it to His men and His men gives it to you. In the New Testament, Jesus took the loaves and the fishes, He broke it, and He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. Jesus didn't just say, "All right, here you go, here's you son, Joe, here's you son, Johnny, here's you son." He gave it to the disciples, and He said, "Now, John, you take this crowd, and Peter, you take that bunch, and Thomas, you take that bunch, and so-and-so, you take that bunch." And He gave it to the disciples, and they distributed it to the multitude. You know what? I'm down on the knees praying on Saturday night. "Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God." Other preacher over here across the road over yonder, he's down on his knees praying, I hope. Other preacher, a preacher called me the other night. I study on Saturday night. I pray on Saturday night. I said, "What are you up to?" He said, "I'm watching the ball game." I didn't say nothing. But I said, man, you must be more right than I am. But anyway, I said, boy, the Lord takes that stuff and gives it to His men, and then His men gives it to the multitude. Now, like it or not, believe it or not, appreciate it or not, God gives it to His men, and His men gives it to you. And I'm telling you, that's His order. That's the way He's got it set up. And He gives it to the pastor in a local church, and the pastor distributes it to the multitude. So it's a dangerous thing to reject authority. It's a dangerous thing to rebel against leadership and harden your heart. You know, a wife can harden her heart against her husband. I preached about marriage Sunday night. If you wasn't here, you need to get the tape. You can harden your heart against your wife. As a matter of fact, one of the warnings to a husband in the Bible is, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Isn't that a weird verse? I've always wondered why he said for a husband not to get bitter against his wife. But it don't say nothing about the wife being bitter against her husband. And I think it's because God always said that her desires would be to her husband. But a man gets backslid, he gets bitter. He starts making a list of everything she does wrong. And boy, he starts going, she does one more thing, man. And he's bitter. And it's a sin. It's a sin. He said, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. If you're bitter against your wife, you need to get right. If you're bitter against your husband, you need to get right. If you're bitter against your pastor, you need to get right. If you're bitter against your mama and daddy, anybody who has any kind of authority, then you need to get right. That's what causes hardened heart. Right. Now, I'm not preaching, so I'm just going to talk about this. So if anybody wants to say something, you can interrupt me and say it now. It's sort of a hard thing to admit. You got a hard heart. But, I mean, if anybody wants to, come up here and we'll lay hands on you or something. Amen. All right. Next thing that causes you to harden your heart is postponing your decision. Postponing your decision. That means knowing you ought to do something and you won't do it. Now, the truth is tonight, the Holy Spirit will deal with you about something. Hadn't the Lord dealt with you and dealt with you and dealt with you and dealt with you? And you know He wants you to do something, like maybe go apologize to somebody or maybe get right with somebody or something like that, and you just won't do it. If you're not careful, if you keep doing that, He'll just leave you alone. And I don't want the Lord to leave me alone. If the Lord leaves you alone, you're really in trouble. You say, I wish He'd just leave me alone. I don't. I want Him to keep on bothering me. I'd rather Him bother me than me harden my heart to where it didn't bother me no more and get my head knocked off. Because He can't let you get your head knocked off. You ever owed somebody some money? You ever been mean to somebody? Or have you ever maybe said something smart or hateful? And boy, every time you kneel down to pray, you can just see their face. Have you ever said something ugly about a preacher or about another Christian or something? And you know you shouldn't have done it. And the Lord deal with you, but you just get, he deserved it. You know, we figure out all kinds of ways to justify how we act and everything. But the truth is, the Lord said, you ain't right. You ain't right. You ain't right. You ain't right. I'm telling you, it is a dangerous thing to just say no. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I've always been scared to ignore the Holy Ghost dealing with me. Anybody got an illustration? When God dealt with you about something and it drove you crazy till you got it right. Does anybody want to admit it? Or maybe you might help us tonight. I mean, when you get down to pray, you can just see that old boss at work. She's ugly and you hate her. But some says you shouldn't have talked to her like that. Oh, Lord, does it? And all you can see is her big face right there. And you got to go back the next day and say, look, we didn't play ball with that. I thought this guy would play ball with Marion. He was a smart aleck. And I didn't sort of know.
not like them. But I prayed about it. And one time I had the balls with my cat, and he got real mad and said something smart to me. I mean, really smart. He said, "God's passing," or something like that. Boy, it just flew all over me. And I held it in. I didn't say a word. I said, "Lord, help me. This is just a stupid ball game." We run back down the floor in Houston. I said, "God, play some defense." Like that. And I couldn't help it. I said something smart back to him. That was wrong. It's just a stupid ball game. Because his man had 2/3 of their points. I was wanting to say, "You smart mouse sitter griping at me. Won't you guard your man? Shut up." That ain't what I said. I said, "We ought to play some defense," and that's bad enough. Now, you're starting to think of something now that you did at work, right? Okay, hold on, Melanie. I knew. I could tell by looking at you that you had sinned. And she's smart mouth me, and I'm nice to her. But anyway, the next week, he's over there lacing up his tennis shoes and getting ready and everything. He came up and said, stuck his hand out and said, "Look, I'm sorry for the way I acted last week. That wasn't like a Christian." I said, "That's all right, too, man. Don't worry about it. It's my fault. I shouldn't say anything." We shook hands, and it made me have some respect for him. It really, you know, you show a person that's too stubborn or too proud to apologize, I'll show you a little person. It takes a big person to say, "I'm wrong. I shouldn't have said it. I want you to forgive me and make it right." Okay, let's hear it. We ain't got no kids in here, do we? Make sure all the little ones. Oh, it ain't got that. That's a good question. That's an excellent question. I don't think it is. So, like when them queers come in Dollywood, be mean to them. No, I'm just kidding. I think there is sometimes there's a righteous. Don't take that to mean more than did I give her too much leeway that time? Huh? Hey man, he went in there and turned tables over and throwed them out and everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's one thing. There you go. Pull that switchblade on them, bless God. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's right. Jesus was never mean or hateful or ugly. Ever. Got that? Who you been being mean to? But they deserve it. You just fill that bus up and don't worry about it. God will overlook it if you'll fill that bus up. Woo! Hallelujah. All right, brother. Go ahead. You got to come to church regular to participate. What was you going to say? Well, that's what I mean. In all seriousness.
Here's my question. Even if you have righteous indignation, do we have a right to show that by being mean?
There's a time and a place where you do have a right to stand your ground and be tough. Jesus was. He wasn't hateful. He wasn't a smart aleck.
Let me give you an example.
All right.
I was probably
real
lucky. You told everybody I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably is wrong. Oh, if he made one first. Go ahead. One person. Yes! No, I don't know. Well, we cannot let homosexuals think that we are a bunch of self-righteous, smart-aleck Because that's what they think Christians are. Well, you're right. I mean, if they're obnoxious and they're... Listen, man legs, Lord have mercy. God, who's he trying to... I mean, if his legs are pretty, then he ain't a man of wrong. His man's leg looks like a rope with a knot tied in. That's what my daddy said. Who else? Easy.
I probably didn't say what Derek said.
Did you cuss, brother?
But I was rude and I blew my horn. She said that forever. And it's
clear.
So I
didn't
go
apologize. Yeah, you did. I think that's why a lot of y'all won't put bumper stickers on your car. Y'all, you don't put a bumper sticker on your car because you're such a smart aleck on the highway. You blow your testimony. I've done it before. I thought, Lord, don't let them see my bumper sticker. I slammed them. The church parking lot. Aha. And you did what? Good. There you go. That's good. You know, we almost had a fight, two women out here one day. Good. Janet. That's why she quit coming, you know. She ain't been here since then. She told me, she said, Brother Danny, I'm never coming back, but I'm just not going to tell you why. And her whole family got knocked out. Yeah. I do that. We're off the subject. We're talking about hardening your heart. About making things right with people, apologizing, and being mean to people. You know, the Holy Spirit will quit. If you don't do what He wants you to do, He'll just quit messing with you. He'll quit talking to you. You don't want that. You don't want that. You keep hardening your heart. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I was excuse out. Yeah, well, dude, man, that's great. That's great if you got a chance to witness somebody like that. Go for it. Go for it. What about that? Isn't that a blessing? Anybody else? Oh, yeah. I tell you, the worst way to get your heart about stuff like that is keeping a pet sin in your life that you're not willing to quit. I mean, I know we all sin there, but you know what I'm talking about. Deliberate, willful sinning. It's something that you know is wrong, and you just refuse to even try to quit. In other words, you just say, I'm going to do this. Heck with it. Lord, the Holy Ghost will speak to you, and He'll speak to you, and He'll speak to you, and if you don't get right, He'll just back up and say, all right, fool. Go on, watch what happens. Yep.
I
Yeah, amen, brother. Amen, brother. It is. That's tough. Amen. The only way you can love some people is to be right with God and let the Lord love them through. That's the only way. Because they're unlovable. And so were we. And He loved us. And just don't forget that. Remember this. Remember this. What they've done to you ain't no worse than what you've done to Jesus. Just never forget that. Never forget that. And He's right. You got to get your heart right. If the Lord's dealing with you about something, I've heard Dr. Ruckman say, he's talking about chastening one time, and he said something like, if God has quit dealing with you about something and you know it's wrong, you better get an altar quick. And because you know what's next? Judgment. If the Lord just backs off and leaves you alone, son, you headed for a... Like you say, man, I used to feel guilty every time I did this, and now it don't even bother me. That's bad. You ever notice the first time you do something wrong, you feel terrible and you think you're going to die the next day or something? And then the next time, you know, you think you're going to die, I'll probably just get sick. And then the next time, and as time goes on, you get, that ain't no big deal. See there? Lord don't care. And that's hardening your heart. That's what that is. Let's ask God tonight to get our heart back tender. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like for a preacher to stand up here and preach during a camp meeting about the cross and us just everybody cry. I mean, it'd be real. I don't want just everybody shout when it says King James Bible. I mean, I'll shout when it says King James, but there's more. I've been in churches where preacher get up and tell about Jesus dying on the cross, and everybody sits there and looks at the ceiling and pulls the cell phone, and they'll say King James Bible, and everybody goes, woo, hallelujah. Listen, people, that's good. We ought to shout when we talk about King James Bible. But it ought to tire us up. Now, I know when you hear the same story a million times, it's easy to get hard and hard. But let's ask God to keep our hearts soft. I'm not saying you're wicked and backslid if it don't tire you up every time you hear it. But it ought to once in a while. Amen? It ought to once in a while. In other words, that fellow got a testimony there, got me. Has he got something he wants to say? I heard him burp or something. I don't know what he did. He was shouting. Old Chubb was shouting the other night. Where'd he go? Oh, he's back there. I see him. Listen, let's ask God to get our heart soft. Listen, I'm good tonight. I got a bunch of stuff to say. Anybody else want to say something right quick? We don't want to be a bunch of hard-hearted. Look, here's what I'm saying. We know we don't want to be what we call a, quote, professional Christians, where everybody knows how to act, everybody knows how to dress. It's all, yes, glory to God. We're going to have a good service, then we're all going to go out to eat and laugh and cut up, and then we're all going to go home and go to bed, and it's not real to us. We want this thing to be real. I asked God when I preached, I said, Lord, let it be real to me. If it ain't real to me, it ain't going to be real to people. If it's real to the preacher, it might get real to the people. And the reason so many churches are dead tonight, it ain't even real to the preacher. I wonder sometimes if preachers believe half the stuff they're even saying. I heard a guy on the radio, he got on and he said, hey, praise God, if you don't get saved, praise God, you're going to hell and burn, praise God. And I thought, what? You nut? You don't say praise God until somebody's going to burn? And he wasn't even listening to himself. We ought to believe it's easy to get in a rut and just be a professional Christian. Anybody else right quick? Yes, sir. He was. He should have took that broom away from him and beat him. Did you really? Amen, brother. Amen. Amen, brother. Sometimes you got to remember. Even though you're saved, you're still a man. Even though you're saved, you're still a human being. And we got this stuff right here.
And it ain't no different than it ever was. Probably worse. And it's hard to get that, keep it, you know, in check. Anybody else, right quick? I'm going to stop. We're going to have Miss Desi come play in a minute, and we're going to ask God to give us a soft heart. That's right. That's right. We want us to look good, and we're mad because somebody hurt us or made us look bad or something like that. It's true. Anybody else? One of the things you got to watch out is your motive for doing stuff. Like when I preach, why do I preach? Who do I preach for? Who do I try to please when I'm preaching? I need to ask myself them kind of questions all the time. You got to be real. Some of the fakest people I know are preachers. You know, these preachers meet me, they'll come in, "How you doing, sir? Oh, good to see you." I think, "Lord, you constipated, man? What's wrong with you? I mean, have you had back surgery? I mean, Lord, have mercy." And they'll go down this big old spiel about how wonderful they are and how great they are and how great. And I thought, well, who are you trying to impress? Look, I don't think we ought to be a bunch of slobs, but we ain't impressing God. You don't impress God. Nothing you can do impresses God except believing. That's what God wants. He wants somebody believing. Amen? The Pharisees were the most religious people in the world, and they made the Lord sick. Let's make sure our heart's in this thing. When we sing up here in the choir, when you sing them words, let them words come out of your heart. Mean every word of it. One thing that I've been trying to do, and I am going to hush. I know the kids are probably driving them nuts back there, but one thing that I've been trying to do more and more and more is, when we sing a song, mean the words from my heart. You know what some people think? Some people think, well, singing is just something we do to get this over with for a few minutes before we preach. And that's what I want to hear in the preaching. You're cheating yourself out of half the service. Get those words and sing them words and get a blessing out of them songs. Get a blessing out of the choir. I've seen people stand around and talk out there while the choir's singing and then just come in and sit down and listen to the preaching. You're cheating yourself. Get in here. Learn how to worship God. Forget there's anybody else here. You know, when we were singing that song a while ago, Love Lifted Me. Think about it. The night you got saved, Love Lifted Me. Love Lifted Me. Think about the night I got saved. When nothing else could help, Love Lifted Me. Have a worship time every time you come to church. And that way you help your heart not to get hard. All right, I'm done. Anybody else? Come on, Miss Desi. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes for a minute. And we'll have just a little time of prayer. And I'm going to be first. I'm going to ask God to soften my heart. I've been preaching on 4 weeks in a row, and it's easy to get your heart hard. It's easy to just go through the motions. I don't want to do that. I want to stand up there tomorrow night when I preach and mean every word I'm saying. And I want it to come from my heart, and I want to have a burden and a passion in my voice. Amen. Let's ask God to help us tonight. Ask God right now, say, "Lord, soften my heart. Lord, soften my heart." You want to come and pray? Come on, someone coming. You want to pray there at your seat? That's fine. Amen. Come on, right now. If you keep sinning, some of you young people, you keep sinning, you'll harden your heart. Just like you get a callus on your hand when you work hard or something. You just get worse and worse. Amen. Let's come on. Sit there at the seat and pray if you want to. Father, do what ought to be done right now. Holy Ghost, touch our hearts tonight, Lord. Lord, bless these young people. Lord, help us not to harden our heart as they did in the wilderness and provoked you. Oh, God, please help us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, dear God. Have mercy on us, Father. Have mercy on us, oh Lord, we pray. God, do a miracle in our church. Lord, let our camp meeting be real. It'll get down deep in our soul, Lord. Help us, God. Feel your power, your presence. Lord God, forgive us, Lord, where we grieve the Holy Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit. God, that our heart may be soft once again, like it ought to be. Lord, let us be able to shed tears. Let them be real. Lord God, don't let us harden our heart. Lord, I pray that whatever you put on our hearts to do, help us, as everybody's been talking about tonight, help us to act right toward people at work and at play and at school. And Lord, have the right attitude toward people. and have a right spirit coming off of us and out of us. Have your way in our lives. We love you. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. Be what you want us to be. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. 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 All right.
Praise the Lord.
All right.